Hey folks, it's Leah here, and welcome to the third episode of the Body Image Positive, or BIP, podcast. For this episode, I'm going to be interviewing Lily, who's been a really active member of the BIP community pretty much since its inception. She's going to be sharing a bit about her own body image history and also some thoughts on broader issues. And we recorded this on an absolutely gorgeous day and really couldn't bring ourselves to sit inside. So please do excuse the occasional, traffic noise or dogs barking or what have you. It is a really great interview and Lily is absolutely hilarious. So I'm pretty sure you'll find it's worthwhile. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. And here's Lily.
I guess like the most basic question that I tend to begin with is just in the grand scheme of things, maybe just a little background on sort of where you're at in terms of your relationship with your body and like body positivity or whatever, and sort of any sort of general experiences that may have informed that at all.
Okay. So, where you're at is kind of a complicated question because, you know, it changes day to day and afternoon to evening.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm definitely in a much better, healthier place than I've ever been in relation to my body. I was a competitive swimmer for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And during those years, like calorie counting and like really rigorous note taking on everything that I ate and then like 20 hours a week of exercise really made me very, you had to be very paranoid about your body. You had to put a lot of effort into making sure that your body was the right shape to be swimming, and you mm-hmm. when you did weightlifting, you had to do long reps of light weight so that you would gain muscle without getting bulkier
mm-hmm.
because you had to be aerodynamic, etc.
Wow.
So there was like a huge focus on your body in that sense. And that was also during like my preteen years when I got boobs and most people didn't have boobs.
Yeah.
And there were people in my life that were just kind of, not even in a sexual way, but like fascinated and horrified by my body because it was booby. Like, there was this one girl that, I don't want to say she bullied me, because she definitely was in a place of herself being oppressed, and, like, life was hard for her, and she felt that I was an easy target in that I was not going to fight back because I tried to be nice to her.
Mm.
But she, like, she was obsessed with my bra, all of my bras, so, like, if you could see a tiny bit of color through my shirt from my bra, she would loudly announce it. If my nipple was visible in some way, she would announce it. If my
mm-hmm.
strap was showing, she would announce, usually by like snapping it.
Mm.
I stopped wearing anything that had any texture on it, so the texture of the lace wouldn't show through.
Wow.
I wouldn't wear color. I wouldn't wear any bras that had padding in them because seeing it, she would have commented that I wanted them to look bigger than they were, and it was like
mm-hmm.
an attention thing. So like
mm-hmm.
It was very about minimalizing my body and wearing like very high neck shirts, because I also didn't like dressing the way other people did would show off a lot more than it would for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, it was a whole point of being very, very hyper aware of my body. And that got worse as when I got older, I would actually move towards dieting a little bit. My friends were really concerned when I would like document exactly what I would eat, but that was all they knew, that I would just be documenting everything that I eat. But I had
right.
a system where I was allowed to have one serving of either protein or dairy, I think, and then two servings of carbohydrate. It was like 1, 2, 3. I can't even remember the categories anymore. And then after that, it could just be fruit and vegetables. But it was like really very regimented within my head.
Wow.
And, like, it was an on-again, off-again thing. Like, it never, like, my body didn't change, really. It was a head thing, not a body thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of first year university, or the beginning of second year, somewhere around there, I tried Weight Watchers for the first time. And it was convenient for me. Like, it was right before grad, because I wanted to look thin in my grad dress. And that worked. Like, it wasn't even that unhealthy the first time that I did it. And, like, I don't know, I probably lost 5 pounds, because that is, like, the range. I go up and down 5 pounds, but I stay within this bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt delightful about it and whatever. But then when I was in Brazil, in 2012, I worked in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I did the same thing, and it was stricter. So I don't know how much you know about Weight Watchers.
But not a whole ton, to be honest.
So essentially, food are assigned, it's actually like, as far as weight loss systems go, it's one of the least harmful ones, I would say, in that it literally just helps you be aware of what you're eating. So, like, and really, it makes you watch out in terms of, like, health too, and make sure you're getting the right amount of nutrition.
Mm.
So what you do is you fill in all your details, and it comes up with a points number. And then each food is assigned a point. Okay. So all fruits and vegetables are 0 points. You can eat as much fruits and vegetables as you'd like. But like an egg is 2 points.
Okay.
And proteins and grains are obviously higher in points. I don't remember the numbers really anymore. But like, so every time you fill something in, you write in that many points and you keep a track and you try and stay within like the number of points you have. But you also have an extra like 5 or 10 like splurge points that you spend per week.
Mm.
And so the points that they calculated was either 21 or 22 for me. But then I didn't feel like I was getting thin enough, so I had to have less than 15.
Oh my
and
God.
Then I had to have less than 12.
Wow.
And so there was like maybe 2 weeks that I was doing like 8 points.
Oh my God.
And then I realized that I was really terrified and awful and that like, anyways, that I was heading towards a serious eating disorder. And I was like, okay, stopping that forever. Well, I didn't even think stopping that forever. I was like, well, I'm going to take a break from that. And then, like, as I got further away from it, it was like, oh that was really bad. Oh, dear. Like, look at that. Like, why did I think that was a good idea?
Yeah.
It was, and, like, part of it was motivated in Brazil, my mother, because it was also, it, like, and she didn't really grasp, like, what was going on inside my head. So I can't fault her for this. But she knew that I wanted to lose some weight. And had told me that she would pay, like, it was like a deal. And if I could reach this goal weight that I'd set for myself by my birthday, which was like 2 months away, and it was, I think, 10 pounds less than I was at the time, then she would pay me, I think, like $200. So it was like, there was also a financial aspect in it.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the end, I was 1 pound off. It was like the part I was most annoyed with. But it, like, at, that was why I started cutting the points down, is that I had, like, a really specific goal that I had to meet by my birthday. And even, like, the 3 or 4 days before my birthday, like, I would stop drinking water so I wouldn't have water weight. Like, it was not good. And it was really, like, it was months later as I really started to, like, piece together how bad that had been.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how long it was before I realized that I couldn't diet and, like, that wouldn't be good for my mental health. And so that was 2 years ago now.
Mm.
And I will never diet again. And I haven't really come out with the fact that I will never diet again to my parents.
Mm.
I don't know how they will take that. They're amazing people and generally extremely progressive, but body positivity in the sense of like fat shaming and weight loss aren't really areas that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that comes from their background of like living in the forest and being hippies that like built trails in the mountains, like you couldn't gain weight doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
Like you were hiking for like a million hours a day and hunting your own game, like good luck.
Yeah.
So like that's hard for them to conceptualize, but anyways, so that's gonna be my challenge of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where my body image is at.
That's really awesome. I don't know if you know this, but within the BIP community you sort of have a reputation, probably largely spearheaded by me, because I think it's amazing. As someone who's like super sex positive and super open about sexuality, and so I wondered if like where that actually comes from, if that's something that's always been a part of who you are, if there was a specific process attached to that.
I think that's actually a very dichotomous thing for me, because there are some situations in which I'm very sex positive, but at the same time, like, and part of that comes from my mother, again, being a nurse. Like, I got the, this is what a condom is, this is why it's important to use a condom, when I was about 8.
Wow.
Like, years before that was ever going to be an issue, she wanted to make sure, and, like, my parents made sure that I used the anatomically correct terms for body bits when I was, like, a toddler.
Mm.
And I can remember asking, like, I can't remember the scientific term for what's between my legs, and my parents would be like, well, it's a vulva, and I'd be like, well, okay. But then when I was old, so that they really did do a good job of like trying to make sure that that was an open thing, and like they do things like when my brother was having a party, I didn't really throw parties. When my younger brother was throwing a party, for example, or like before like an event where it's possible that we would be sleeping with someone, my mother had this like industrial size box of condoms that was, first of all, it was kept in a closet in my room, so I could have accessed it whenever I wanted.
Nice.
We had like a little storage cabinet in my room, and that's where it went. But then before something like that, where it's possible we would be sleeping with someone, my mother would literally take the box and open it and leave it on the kitchen table for like 4 days. So you just wait till no one else was around. And
grab
Yoda.
A handful. Yeah.
And like they were uncountable. There was just so many of them. Like it, not a worry.
Yeah.
The only time I ever took one happened to be the exact second someone else was walking into the room. Very humiliating. yeah. So, but at the same time, it was done in like quiet, silent actions where you didn't have to talk about it. And therefore, even though my brothers are pretty good about talking about it, I, with my family at least, am not good at talking about that kind of, like, my parents almost never hear anything about my relationships at all. And mm-hmm. part of that was from dating a woman and being in the closet for a number of years. But it was an acquired habit.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, good Lord, I could never discuss birth control with my mother, even right. though, like, I know that she'd be 100% okay with it. And then, like, I like being sex positive and talking about, like, my own experiences with people that I trust. But at the same time, that has to be things that aren't tied to my relationships.
Right.
Because my partner is a very private person.
Right.
And, like, that would totally mortify him. So, mm-hmm. So I, when I do share, it has to be things that, like, don't implicate anyone else.
Right.
So, like, there are only small areas in which I'm extremely comfortable and talkative about an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, like, that because there's, like, this select area of, like, I'm okay sharing about this, then I'm very okay sharing about
uh-huh.
it. So I think that's part of it, but mostly it's just about respect. Like, I'm happy. I think that being, like, a good communicator about your sex life and being, like, aware and, like, reflective about your sex life creates health.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good for you. But at the same time, you have to be, like, you have to be very aware of how that impacts other people and what impact it has on other people and who else is implicated in what you're talking about. So
yeah.
It's a careful line.
Yeah. I definitely, like, I've found that sort of the general feeling amongst, like, it's actually a very feminist thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be very open about sex, but also very aware of boundaries.
Yes, exactly.
And apparently feminists have the best sex, so if you want to be a feminist for a purely selfish reason.
You know, actually, now that I think about it, like, the more feminist I get... yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. I know that you've done a little bit of like, more informal work sort of surrounding... well, I guess somewhat formalized work surrounding the, like... building the community of BIP and trying to make sure that we have sort of a safe space for people to be able to express various things. And I just wondered, like, I don't know if I should ask, like, what has been the biggest roadblock there specifically, or, like, what has been a big roadblock or a big issue that you've experienced sort of surrounding body positivity, and like how do you hope we could overcome some of these major issues surrounding body positivity? Like, what really sticks out for you as an issue?
So, just to be clear, you mean, like, on the topic of body positivity for everyone, not our organization?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I don't know if there is one issue. I mm-hmm. think that body positivity is so intersectional and complicated and messy that there's no way you could boil it down to one thing, because that would exclude people, because I think body positivity is very different for different people.
Yeah.
Some people are very conscious about the size or the shape of their body. Some people feel a bigger impact from the color of their body or the perceived gender of their body. So, like, I don't think that... Well, I mean, maybe if you want to boil it down to bigotry... But I don't think there's any other way you could boil that down without excluding people, that because everybody's got a body, and everybody interprets their body and lives with and inside their body in different ways.
Yeah. Would you say that there was a significant moment where there's this shift in your life where you went from just perceiving your body in a more positive light?
This isn't very feminist for me to say, to be honest, but and I guess it's terrible in some senses, but having a really positive relationship with mm-hmm. someone else was a huge turnaround. To have my feelings about my body, like, my negative feelings of my body, like, confronted in the sense of, like, well, why do you think that? Like,
of course
you're not hideous because of this. Of course that's not weird that your body's like this.
Yeah.
And at the same time, to have my positive thoughts reaffirmed.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, like, maybe for some people, body positivity can totally come just from the inside. But we live in a very, external society, in the sense that, like, people around you are always judging and commenting on your body, and somehow people think that's okay when it's really not. But as a result of that, having somebody else affirm the things that you love about yourself is really, really powerful. And like, I've been lucky. I'm in an amazing relationship, and I have been for 4.5 years. And I think I was in a very, very damaged and really messed up place at the beginning of those 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I entered my relationship. I shouldn't have at the time. Like, thank God I did. But like, it's almost like disrespectful to my relationship how little I valued myself at the beginning of that.
Yeah.
But it was, and part of that was just my own natural process of healing, but at the same time being with someone that could affirm who I was in a positive way made a really, really big difference for me.
Nice.
But I mean, also being within Body Image Positive in the last 8 months has really front and centered the issue,
mm-hmm.
whereas it was something that was in my head, but something, I think the things that stay inside your head, they're harder to track, and they're harder to really deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because we live in a very externalized society. So mm-hmm. once you get talking about it with other people and things that you didn't think about, because I knew a little bit about trans issues, but before we started Body Image Positive, that wasn't a thing that came up inside my head on a regular basis.
Yeah.
For example, because that's one thing that Body Image Positive has been great with.
Mm-hmm.
So just throwing that one out, like, there have been changes in that sense.
Yeah.
More aware on a global level, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think When I first started with body talk stuff, it very much started with just me sort of randomly thinking, I'm going to start this thing and let's invite some of my friends.
Yeah.
And I remember going through the Facebook event and like selecting which friends I was going to invite and being like, I don't know who would be into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually legit don't know who would be into this. And I found that I was actually quite surprised by just like the people that did turn up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was sort of surprised at myself when I thought about the people that I didn't want to invite. And mm-hmm. now I have a very good I'm able to distinguish between people who I don't want there because I feel it won't be as safe a space with them there, and people that I don't invite because I know they're not interested. But I just wondered if, is this something that people would know about you? Like, are your friends, are your family, like, are people surprised to know that body image issues are actually a big thing for you?
I present different facets of myself in different contexts, so mm-hmm. there are definitely some people that doesn't show up for. And it, even then, I've become a lot more vocal in many different sectors of my life. So, for example, in the early fall, I joined two discussion groups around the same time, yours and Sapientia, which is a UOttawa-based nonpartisan political current affairs discussion group. And at the beginning, while I was like interested in social justice issues, and that came up a little bit, it was really only in the past few months that I've been like willing to move that sphere into like bringing it into this political, because especially since that group is mostly straight white men, and while they're mm-hmm. fairly progressive, like they're not educated on those things,
mm-hmm.
so I find that I am taking on a more educated role in a number of sectors, and like there are people in my life that I've been dealing with for a long time, whether I like them or not, both cases, and have like been discussing with them and have them say, well, I don't know that much about this issue, and me being like, well, buckle up. And like, literally there's a girl that I've been in classes with for a couple months, and her next presentation is going to be on a feminist issue. And I turned one of my non-feminist issue presentations into a feminist issue presentation. And afterwards she was like, well, where'd you get those resources on that? And I was like, oh, sit down. I'm going to give you a list. Actually, I've invited her to the next body talk.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that's
like,
great.
They're, like, literally on the way home, I like started being like, okay, well, this and this. And she's like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. And like, so I just find that I'm becoming more willing to share that.
Nice.
Y'all really enjoyed the bloopers last time, so we're going to include a reel today that I'm calling the Keeping It Real, because it's not just hilarious stuff, but it is really, really cool down-to-earth human things that happened between me and Lily during the interview. So enjoy the reel.
Oh, that is hot.
Yeah, like quite hot. We can do that too. What do you think?
Okay. You're the interviewer.
I'm the interviewer. I'm the pro.
You're the pro.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Sorry.
I
can take that back. That's stressful. Dichomatic? That's not a word.
Dichotomous?
Although, like, I lived in a pretty progressive community, so people were just, like, throwing condoms at me left and right. But
mm-hmm.
the only time I ever, like, used them in, like, industrial quantities from that container was when I was about 15. I had a friend, like, we had a shared birthday party, and it was at my house. And so when I wrapped her present, I just stuffed it full of condoms. And then we were like 14 and immature, so we turned them all into balloons and threw them around.
That's amazing.
Too pretty to, it's beautiful. To be let's stuck here. Switch, we should
let's
go somewhere.
Where should we go?
We should wander.
Oh,
I think. What were you going to say, switch? Switch what?
To food? Strawberries.
Oh, strawberries. Well, you know what I realized? We haven't washed them yet.
Oh,
well, there's some strawberry washing in order.
Okay.
I just wanted to say a huge thanks to Lily for joining us today. That's it for today's episode, but tune in next time, and until then, stay excellent.